Welcome to Something Wicked Radio, featuring specially adapted radio drama from within the pages of Something Wicked Science Fiction and Horror magazine. Tonight's episode is The Resident Member by Paul Marlowe, which was adapted for radio by Digby Young.
It had been a quiet evening at the Etheric Explorers Club. Only five members were in town at the time. McCaver had offended the chef by declining dinner and retiring to his quarters above the dining room, so an odd assortment of four fellows were thrown together at a single table. Quite exceptional, this bouillabaisse. The Etheric Explorers Club is fortunate to enjoy the services of Monsieur Benoit.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a damn fine soup, eh, Litchfield? Bit like mulligatawny, only fishier.
Suppose, Cuthbertson. Flighty chap, though, Benoit. Quite put out that there are only four of us at dinner.
I say, has anyone else ever tried swillfish?
What?
Swillfish. It's a fish which swells up when it's alarmed, like a bladder.
What the devil do you mean, Milford? My bladder doesn't swell up when it's alarmed.
They call it fugu in Japan, of course. Should the fish be prepared in the wrong manner, the poison of the internal organs can mix with the flesh. Any diner unfortunate enough to consume such an ill-prepared dish suffers total and irreversible paralysis while remaining completely and horribly conscious in a nightmare-like living death. Finally, asphyxiation overcomes him and he mercifully succumbs to oblivion.
What a damn fool thing to do, if you ask me. Eating poisoned bladder fish. Nonsense. What do you want to do a thing like that for?
Always interesting to try new things, I suppose, Cuthbertson.
Madness. It's a dashed good rosé, this. Had elephant once myself. It's a bit tough. Trunk's the best bit, like feel. What about you, Litchfield? Ever eaten any odd stuff?
You know, I think the strangest thing I ever ingested was something I had once in Glasgow. A fellow there sold me a deep-fried pickle. Never had anything like it. Quite extraordinary.
Once had a fruit in the Indies that smelled like an old boot. Tasted of sherry custard.
Ye gods! Your palate belongs in Bedlam, Milford. What about you, Selkirk? Tell me your greatest ever tiffin wasn't some Chinese stinkberry.
It wasn't Chinese.
Give Selkirk a chance.
Yes, I'd be fascinated to know, Selkirk.
Do you remember Peterson?
Peterson?
Yes, entomologist or something, wasn't he? Went out on your South American trek up the Amazon. Peterson died out there, if I remember correctly.
Well, you don't mean to suggest.
Surely not.
It's true. Disgusting, I know. I wouldn't want to make a habit of it, of course.
Dear God!
Yes, yes, indeed. Makes you think, though, doesn't it? Poor fellow. The flesh had a nutty flavour, as I recall. Not bad at all, though, really. Cooked up quite nicely. Shame he never had the chance to add the grubs to his collection, but as a snack, they weren't half bad.
Ah, behold Willets bearing a main course.
Cutlets, I believe.
McCaver must be tiring of our banter.
I fear he tired of our banter when he went upstairs without his dinner. Fool's missing some good nosh. What's he do with his time up there, anyway?
Well, what's he up to, Milford? You look as if you're not saying something, if you get my drift.
He's a bit embarrassed just at present, I've heard.
Embarrassed? About what? Hasn't got some filthy disease, has he? I knew a fella in Rangoon got a filthy disease. Auchinleck was the name. The fella, not the disease.
Impecunious, Milford means. Thank you, Willets.
Me? What? My fork's misbehaving, rather. It's vibrating like a tuning fork. Oh, my good golly gosh.
Careful there.
I say, no need to toss the cutlery about, Cuthbertson.
What in blazes?
That's odd. Your fork has stuck itself into the ceiling, Cuthbertson.
I say.
Magnetism, do you think?
Sterling silver? I think not. Non-ferrous.
Oh. Oh.
Don't move, Milford. Your knife is an inch from your throat.
I say.
Now it's just vibrating.
No! Oh, my good golly gosh!
I believe, gentlemen, that I have eaten sufficient for one evening.
Bloody McCaver. Suppose he's up there summoning demons.
More like the ghost of Hans Christian Ørsted.
It's not magnetism.
Well, whatever it is, I do wish the gaslight wouldn't flicker so. I'm having a devil of a time getting the plaster out of my claret.
Don't you think it's a bit of a stretch to picture McCaver mixed up in all that Faust and devil's business? I've always had him down as more of an astrology and patent medicines man. Anyhow, surely there's some club rule against doing anything, you know, of an occult or apocalyptic nature while staying in club lodgings.
Hmm. You're right, Milford. You're looking a little out of sorts.
I think I'll be getting on home.
No, no. What would Dr. Maddox and the rest of our society's dauntless but absent vanguard say if we should fly at the first inklings of a diabolical presence?
Indeed, Litchfield. We are etheric explorers after all. First thing, proceed upstairs and quiz McCaver.
Wait up, old boy. Ah, Willits. We were wondering whether...
Begging your pardon, sir, but I'm not staying a minute longer. Bad enough I have to put up with Monsieur Benoit's tantrums, not stopping to hear him when he sees the kitchen tomorrow. Serving dishes all stuck to the ceiling.
An etheric phenomenon, Willits, not your fault.
Odd is what I calls it, and I've had enough of odd in my time here. Look at you. You even look like ghosts.
Oh, yes, we do, rather. Just plaster dust.
I'll serve slop in the almshouse rather than stop a minute longer with you lot.
Milksop!
Oh, well... Lead on, Selkirk. Selkirk, whatever are you doing?
Sixpence.
I am familiar with the coin of the realm, Selkirk. What's the string for?
Right. Done. Off we go.
Oh dear, what was that? No need to canter, though.
What are you fossicking in your pockets for, Cuthbertson? Are you going to try half a crown and some jute twine?
Damn it, I've lost my Dutch cigars. Ah, I knew I had one.
Selkirk, old man, why are we following a sixpence dangling from a string?
Do you know what this is?
If I am not very much deceived, it is a sixpence.
A silver sixpence. The phenomenon clearly has an affinity for silver, ergo I'm using silver to detect its presence. There, can you all understand that?
What?
Steady, Selkirk. No need to be terse.
Oh, for God's sake.
Did you just happen to have some string?
Always carry string, Litchfield. Ah, the upstairs landing now. Which way first?
There's always been something upsetting about these upstairs rooms. I don't know, a presence. They've always disturbed me.
My dear fellow, courage. It's the decor that does it. I feel the same way about green baize, I assure you.
This way.
But McCaver's room is to the right.
We go left. Ah, room number 6. I wonder if the presence is in here.
Well, open the door and look. Don't just dangle the dashed sixpence at it.
I say, is that wise?
Show some respect for scientific method, dear fellow. I beg you.
Certainly.
Now, for room number 5.
I deduce, therefore, that we are going to divine each door in turn with your sixpence.
Quite. Perfectly perpendicular, at room 5.
And perfectly perpendicular at room 4.
Perfectly perpendicular at room 3. Perfectly perpendicular at room 2.
No need to follow, gentlemen, thank you. I shall test this last door without your enthusiastic assistance.
Perfectly perpendicular at room 1.
Quite. Thank you, gentlemen.
And here we are, led by a sixpence to a perfectly awful baroque mirror. Oh, I say, I'm still covered in plaster.
Oh, my word. It's misted over, quite suddenly.
I thought I saw something just as it misted over.
Stand back. Definitely an etheric phenomenon. Cold. Ice cold. And silvered.
It's clearing. Oh, no, it isn't. Your dashed presence is drawing a likeness of something, Selkirk.
It's, what is it?
It's a persimmon.
It is rather like a persimmon, a tipped over persimmon.
You don't suppose that it could be a cardioid?
Eh?
A figure which mathematicians make using x, y, cosines, radii, and squiggles of that sort. Introduced in the Philosophical Transactions of the Royal Society, circa 1741, if I recall rightly, by Giovanni Francesco Salvemini, also known as Johann Castillon.
You amaze me, Litchfield. Can you really not see that it's a persimmon? After all that nonsense you lot were sprouting about fried pickles and Chinese stinkberries, obviously the spirit has been stimulated to tell us about eating persimmons. Honestly, Litchfield, I expected more from you.
They are not Chinese. Oh, look, more etheric phenomena. Etheric writing.
G. O. B. A. Go back. Go back? Go go back.
Perhaps it would like us to go back to McCaver's room. It's back the way we came, down the other corridor. Don't suppose we should just barge in, do you? I say, McCaver, old chap.
Wake up, McCaver, you great suet pudding!
No answer.
Door's unlocked.
Might as well barge in.
I say, McCaver seems to have taken a bit of a tumble. Flat on his face.
No time to lose, Milford. Help me turn the fellow right side up.
Oh dear. Not very appetizing. Bulging eyes and purple complexion.
It looks terminally surprised, I'd say. Any sign of a pulse down there, Selkirk?
Dead. Dead as an aurochs. And just this heavy. Help to heave him onto the bed, will you?
Is that wise? What if he did have a filthy disease?
What? Like your friend in Rangoon?
He wasn't my friend. Just knew him.
Oh, need we? I mean, he's not uncomfortable, is he?
Oh, do be stout, fellows. Take hold of a haunch each and help heave McCaver's mortal remains onto his bed.
Poor fellow. Must have had a weak heart. Ought you to send for an undertaker?
Suppose we'll need to summon our sawbones to sign the death warrant, or whatever it's called.
Certificate. What's the club policy for this sort of thing?
Policy? Do we have a policy on bodies?
Ring for Billingsley. He'll know what to do with a body.
How may I be of service, gentlemen?
It's McCaver. He's had a sudden attack.
Of death. Oh, Selkirk, do put away your dangling sixpence. McCaver is clearly bereft of any presence at all.
We were wondering what the club policy is for this sort of thing.
I shall tend to the matter, gentlemen. A physician shall be summoned.
Poor devil. Well, at least all that's sorted out now. Could use a snifter of something. What you say?
Well, certainly no point in keeping a corpse company.
Ah, yes, well, there may well be. We have not explained the connection between McCaver's demise and the etheric behaviour of our cutlery. Order Willits to send something up.
Willits, you may recall, is serving fine port in the almshouse. We'll have to fend for ourselves.
We're bound to be a decanter of something someplace. In the smoking room, the sideboard.
Yes. Come to think of it, I could do with a little fortification. Yes, a good port would be a comfort.
Port?
I need at least 2 charges of good cognac.
Cognac? Cognac? Don't like the French much. Nothing wrong with a fine Highland whiskey liqueur.
Absolutely, old man. Or even a good Dutch brandy wine, for that matter.
Well, at a pinch, perhaps.
But my point is precisely that we would be having cheese and biscuits now. Thus, port would be more appropriate.
The staff situation being what it is, I fear we shall make do with whatever we can liberate from nooks and crannies.
What? Lost your way, Litchfield?
A bit long, this hall, don't you think? I'll wager we've been walking along it for almost 5 minutes.
By Jove! I think you're right, Litchfield. Are you quite sure we haven't missed the stairs?
I say, what a handsome lady.
Lady? Where? Oh, my good golly gosh. How did a portrait of a young lady find its way into a gentleman's club? Fine-looking filly. Looks a bit annoyed at something. What are all those, what you call 'ems on the table?
The compasses and models of geometric forms?
I say, who is she?
Ah, I fancy that would be Maddox's cousin Griggs. I remember him mentioning on occasion that this had been her home. Mathematician, a brilliant one, as I recall, expert in higher mathematics.
What, the working great numbers, you mean? Millions and tens of millions and all that.
Well...
Pretty smile.
I'd have sworn... I mean, there wasn't a smile a moment ago, was there? Is she, married?
I'm afraid she's dead, Milford. That's what I meant when I said this was her home. Maddox inherited it. Gave it over for the club, you see.
But all this spirit business, mightn't she still be, how would one put it, still available?
Good God, man! She's dead, for heaven's sakes!
And more importantly, you should bear in mind that you're already married. My word. Dashed if that portrait hasn't taken offence.
But surely Surely if your second wife is already dead...
Oh, really, Milford? Yes. Preposterous poppycock.
Yes, I suggest you discuss the matter with the Archbishop, Milford, before you do anything precipitate.
If you have quite finished your contemplation of art and necrogamy, you seem to have already forgotten. Macavity's etheric form is yet abroad. There must be an immediate seance to establish contact.
And send him packing. Don't want my dinners interrupted every night by the silverware dancing a pas-de-deux.
Aha! Now, better even than a seance would be Maddox's machine. The pneumatypograph, I believe he called it.
Bloody sort of name.
It's kept in the library. If we can find the stairs...
Right behind you, Litchfield. I told you you'd miss them.
Oh. How odd.
Very. Swear the dash of things weren't there when we stopped.
Oh, do either lead on or stand aside and allow me.
Get off me, Gusfordson, you lot of...
Oh, not my fault, old man. That last flight just disappeared. Dashed odd.
Ah, always wondered why a bust of Pythagoras adorned the newel post. But of course, the divine Miss Griggs being a mathematician,
ooh,
that would explain...
No time for wittering, Milford. To the library. Post haste.
I shall reconnoiter for some liquid fortification.
Ah, here it is. Bother. Selkirk, be so kind as to restrain the door while I lift the pneumatypograph down.
Lift it down? That's an oxymoron.
Why, thank you, Selkirk.
Yes, yes, of course.
I shall set it up on the main reading table. I say, wake up, Milford. Clear those newspapers. Chop, chop. This is a rather weighty contrivance.
An odd two. Copper dome bristling with typewriter keys.
Liberated the smoking room decanter. Oh, is that the pneuma, what's it? Looks like one of those pomander things, you know? Oranges stuck full of cloves.
Does, rather. Ah, good. Fortunately, it has been fully charged with a good supply of the special curved writing paper. One moves this lever to move the paper in and out in order to view the typewriting.
Here. Let me get the feel of it.
You need to wear this blindfold. The spirit guides your fingers to the letters.
Of course.
Looks quite harmless, doesn't it? Not like that other thing Maddox made.
Other?
You know, that machine he made. The incident they talk about at the 27th meeting.
Everything seems in order here. Now I'm ready to observe the operation objectively from here. Milford, be a good fellow and act as our medium.
What incident?
Before your time, Milford. Do take the seat.
Ah, yes. Well, I suppose...
First the blindfold. And... Give me your hands, Milford. Here are the keys. Please be seated, gentlemen.
Whiskey, anyone?
Yes, about three fingers, I should say.
Your fingers are occupied, Milford. Anyone else?
No whiskey for me, thank you, Cuthbertson.
Nor me. No need for me to hold back then, what? I think a cigar is called for.
All right, Litchfield, commence the the proceedings.
Allardyce MacAvoy.
Allardyce?
Shush. Allardyce MacAvoy, we beseech you to hear our questions and communicate through our servant, Milford, whom you already know, and through the medium of the pneumatypograph. Come to us and tell us of your passage to the etheric realm and of why your rest is disturbed.
Oh, I say.
Time to withdraw the paper, I think. I tried to tell you. I pointed with the cutlery, led you with the lights, used the mirror. But no, you had to ramble on about Chinese stinkberries, twiddle with sixpences, and all the rest. Now look what has happened.
Awfully sorry about you snuffing it, old man. But really, you could have been more, clear.
Oh, stop shouting. He's a ghost, you know, not a flea in my ear.
Milford's reaching for the keys. Slide the paper back.
I'm not MacAvoy. MacAvoy was choking on a humbug. I tried to summon help, but a lot of good that did. By the time you managed to get upstairs, he'd had heart failure. What I want to know is how you are going to evict him. I have no intention of sharing my house for eternity with a superannuated spectre in a walrus moustache.
Do I have the honour to be addressing Miss Bronwyn Havelock Griggs?
Bronwyn?
You do.
Well, get McCava on this thing. We're not here to chit-chat with Maddox's relations.
Anyhow, McCava's a member. Can't just throw him out into the street. Must be a rule about it. Better ask the, you know, thing. Custard.
Custard?
I do not believe my ears.
Custer Ruster, what's it?
Ah, the Custus Rotulorum. I believe that would be me. No one else wanted to be the keeper of the rolls.
Is that some sort of ceremonial waiter?
If I recall, club rules allow for expulsion in the event of misconduct. I hardly think, however, that choking on a humbug qualifies as misconduct. Not unless he stole the humbug from another member.
Of course, McCava's membership might have expired. When he did, I mean.
Ask McCava why he has not moved on.
You cannot. Mr. McCava has not yet coalesced into a coherent etheric form.
I suppose he has no place else to go.
Oh my! Oh my! My cigar smoke's behaving dashed odd. Don't feel a draft in here.
No, but I do feel something else, a presence.
My word. Definitely. Skin feels like a freshly dressed goose.
Oh, not again. Gaslight's flickering. The last time that happened...
What's happening?
Nothing. Remain where you are.
Nothing? I think not. Miss Bronwyn Griggs has appropriated my dashed cigar smoke to materialize herself, old boy. Can you not feel her hovering over you?
No, not her. Oh dear.
I think you will find these premises quite unsatisfactory should I be forced to share them with another spirit.
Threats? If it's an exorcism you want, I'll gladly oblige.
Hush, Selkirk. Let me think. McCava was a dull sort of cove. Probably has no one to haunt. I have it. I should like to propose that we confirm McCava's membership as a lifetime resident member.
Preposterous. Don't wish to chase my cutlery all over the dining room for the rest of my days, you know.
Exercise the bounder, I say. Etheric or not, he's clearly becoming a dashed nuisance.
Oh dear. Oh dear me.
Enough, gentlemen.
The diabolical machine has run away with me.
Enough, I say. Silence! I say, do indulge me for a moment, madam. Thank you. It would be ill-mannered in the extreme to simply... to simply evict a member who so recently suffered the loss of both his livelihood and his life. As a member, McCava is subject to club authority. Should he, through any misbehavior, transgress the standards of the club, he will be subject to a termination of membership, which, I hardly need mention, would require immediate expulsion from the club premises.
Well, perhaps.
I suppose that would be acceptable.
Compromise is an order. Let us vote on it, then, and be done with it. Well, if we could have a quorum.
What's a quorum?
Oh, God, I'm going home. Good night.
As Custus Rotulorum, I declare there to be no quorums in the Etheric Explorers Club.
Good. Didn't like the sound of them, those quorums.
And furthermore, I should like to propose that Miss Bronwyn Griggs be elected a fellow, in perpetuity, of the Etheric Explorers Club.
The rest of them will have fits when we tell them we elected a woman.
What?
As a great benefactress of the club, as a scholar and... as an individual with a unique insight into the etheric realm, Miss Griggs is an admirable candidate for membership. And as a fellow, she will enjoy seniority over McCava.
Agreed.
Agreed.
Very well. The resolution is passed. Congratulations, Miss Griggs.
A fellow?
Now, I think we've imposed upon Miss Griggs enough for one day. You may remove the blindfold, Milford.
Well, that's that, then. Whiskey decanter's dead, too. Time to be getting home, I suppose.
Well, good night, Litchfield. Miss Griggs? I wonder, should Miss Griggs be not otherwise engaged tomorrow, if I might inquire as to whether she...
Miss Griggs has had a trying ordeal tonight, Milford. I know I can rely upon your considerate, chivalrous nature to allow her that peaceful solitude which is the greatest balm for a troubled soul.
Of course. I didn't mean to...
Damned right. Let's be off.
Well, you chaps weren't blindfolded. Not quite fair, really.
Ah, solitude at last, Miss Griggs. I know you're there. What an extraordinary evening. May not be over yet, I'll wager. Wouldn't want anyone barging in now, would we? The main gasolier is a little excessive, I think. Just a wall bracket or two will do. Ah, yes. a lot more atmospheric. And by Jove, there is an atmosphere. Perhaps the blindfold will help me to absorb the etheric atmosphere, so to speak. Clear the mind. Think of nothing. Very difficult to think of nothing as a matter of... Oh, my word. What a delightful touch you have, miss. Oh, I say, getting this dashed blindfold on and off could become a bit of a chore.
Thank you, I think. By the way, the blindfold is not necessary. Rafe only included it for the sake of objectivity.
Ah, splendid. In that case, Miss Griggs, perhaps Cuthbertson's abandoned cigar might provide sufficient matter upon which your etheric form might coalesce. Ah, yes, indeed. I read your paper on Riemannian surfaces in Acta Mathematica. It seemed to suggest very radical ideas about the dimensions of space and even about time. Not being a mathematician, though, I fail to grasp much of the substance of it. Have you ever applied your theories?
Possibly. But it is so difficult to work, being unable to handle a book or write, except crudely and with great effort. Perhaps with practice.
If I can be of any service, please call upon me at any hour to turn your page or hold your pen. It is the least I can do, my dear lady, after we have encumbered you with a phantom Macavo.
To be perfectly honest, Mr. Litchfield, I may not be entirely innocent in that regard. When my summonses were not promptly answered, I'm afraid I appeared in Macavo's mirror, hoping to startle him into expelling the suite. As you know, shocks can be effective at remedying hiccups. And thus it seemed reasonable that the same might be true for choking. The shock was perhaps too much for Macavo's heart, hence the cardioid.
Please, call me Cedric.
Bronwyn.
Dear Bronwyn, you mustn't blame yourself. Macavo lived well and came to an honourable end.
Do you know, Cedric, what I miss even more than my work?
What is that?
A good rubber of whist.
Here is the deck. I hesitate to call in Billingsley and our chef to bring us up to the required four, but if you could settle for écarté and promise not to look at my cards, I will be yours until dawn. The Resident Member by Paul Marlowe was adapted for radio and directed by Digby Young. The part of Litchfield was played by Gideon Emery, Cuthbertson by Joe Vaz, Milford by Digby Young, Selkirk by Damon Berry, and Miss Bronwyn Griggs by Krista Schamberger Young. The play was produced by Joe Vaz, Digby Young, Gideon Emery, and Simon Ratcliffe. It was recorded in Los Angeles, Johannesburg, and in Cape Town. Edit and effects by Digby Young. And final mix by Simon Ratcliffe at Sound and Motion Studios in Cape Town. soundandmotion.co.za. The Resident Member is copyright 2008 by Paul Marlowe. More of Paul's work can be found at paulmarlowe.com. The mechanical rights in this recording are the property of Something Wicked and Inkless Media. Any reproduction is prohibited without permission.
Something Wicked Radio is produced by Something Wicked Magazine and Inkless Media Productions. Find us online at somethingwicked.co.za. Subscriptions and back issues of the print version of Something Wicked can be found at shop.somethingwicked.co.za and electronically through fictionwise.com. We hope you enjoyed this installment of Something Wicked Radio. Keep your ears peeled for more episodes available through iTunes or your favorite podcasting website. Till next time, good night.